to the ANA Podcast, Sports Talk, with your hosts, Anthony Cortez and Alex Ashley.
Hey, what's up, and welcome to the ANA Podcast. I am Anthony.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. It's me, Alex. How you guys doing? How's it going, brother?
I'm your phenomenal, funny, and handsome co-host, Rocco Cortez. It's good to see
you guys.
These
are all true things.
Good to see you, too, dude.
These are all true things.
How was y'all's week?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Man.
Lots of sports. Yay, sports!
So many sports. Sports all over the place, really.
Big NFL. Week. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, coming back. I got to see a little bit of it.
I didn't. I missed it.
It's cool to see Jackson finally play.
It wasn't on
with
Hulu.
All the hype that he's been having. It was interesting. And RG3 almost was even more impressive for me, coming back off of every injury in the book. Yeah. Finally coming back in to play a little football. What'd he go, like 100 and something yards? I think he threw like one pick.
I think it was a million and two.
A million and two. Million okay, two. Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Probably,
yeah.
Right.
You're probably
about
right.
A million and 2 yards. You know, yeah. Not that great. Whatever.
No, you know, something. It was close. It was close. Maybe next year he'll do better.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I forgot what else was on, but I wanted to watch something else. I think it was the Rangers. I think I wanted to watch the Rangers. But,
yeah, because we actually got to win a game versus the Orioles.
Dude, and Rubio
traded like him and Gallo, the two guys that we've been trashing since we started this, both have a home run in the last 3 games.
They've been telling us to keep our mouth shut.
Yeah.
So
finally, though. Okay. Oh, my God, dude. That's about time.
Yeah. All right. So, welcome. We want to, this is a special one. Our guest with,
this is going
to
be fun, guys.
Yeah. This is another fun one for you here. We have in studio, my very good friend who I've known since my junior year or sophomore year. You were a sophomore, right?
Yeah. I was a sophomore.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, my junior year of high school at O'Connor. Isaiah Thornton and his father, Ike Thornton. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Woo, woo, woo.
Hey. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Alrighty. So, yeah, we have him here in studio. Ike is how long have you been in the coaching industry? Or how long have you been in coaching?
Well, I've been a head coach for 15 years, so probably close to 20 years.
Close to 20 Man. Years. And then you played high school and college as well.
Yes.
Almost my entire life.
Which we'll get into. Yeah.
Most of my life, actually.
Most of our lives. Yeah.
That's pretty that's really awesome, actually. Got some experience in here.
Yeah. So welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here. We appreciate it very much. Just a quick summary of who we are. If you're joining us for the first time, we are Anthony and Alex, joined by our co-host and producer, Rocco. We are two good friends that get together every week to talk about why we're friends, because we both love sports.
We do. And too much, really.
A little too much.
Too much, really.
But yeah, we get together every week to bring you the hottest topics in sports. Not the hottest.
Well, I was going to say some topics in sports.
Yeah.
We talk about sports things.
Mostly things that we want to talk about.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
But anyways, yeah. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for giving us your time. This is episode 14 for us, and it's pretty crazy. I'm still having a blast.
Yeah, man. I'm so excited. And the cool thing is, guys, now we're starting to get more gear. Starting to get more merch.
Yeah.
We
got some pictures to post later.
Got some things in the works here. So y'all stay tuned for that. Again, we still have the wristband giveaway. So leave us a positive.
Yeah, tell them about it.
Keyword positive here. A positive review on iTunes. Even if you don't leave a positive review, I'd still like to read it anyways. Just, you know, because that shit's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so leave a positive review of us on iTunes and we'll send you out a wristband. Again, guys, we have a pretty limited number of these, so we want to give them out as many as we can, as quickly as we can. And another thing that we're going to have coming up here pretty quick, is a keychain giveaway. What we're going to start doing is we're going to start asking 2-3 questions. Basically, we're going to say, you know, who do we think is going to win this game? Who do you think is going to win that game? What's the score of this game going to be? If you get a couple of those right, we'll send you out a keychain. If you get one score exactly right, you'll get a keychain and a wristband. So you'll get all the goodies. Again, guys, hit us up on Facebook. We are also on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on Spotify now, iTunes, Simplecast, all that good stuff. Email, again, AASportsShow@gmail.com. So you got some ways to get a hold of us, guys.
Yep.
Send us a shout out.
Alrighty. All right. So we got this thing real quick where we get into highlights before we get into the actual thing. And Ike and Isaiah are going to join in with us.
Absolutely.
You're a part of the show.
Welcome, guys.
But the biggest thing is we want to...
Sorry about it.
Sorry.
I said sorry for them that they had to start talking. Got trapped now. It's too late.
Biggest thing is LeBron James opening up his I Promise school in Akron, Ohio. First of all, we just want to, I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Guys, just so you know, I've, he basically, we like, I think it was our fourth or fifth episode that we did.
Yeah.
He basically put me in a corner. He was like, LeBron and MJ, who's better? And I'm like, come on, dude. Really, you're going to do this to me now?
It's fun, though. It's a great question.
Yeah. And so I admitted, you know what, LeBron? Okay, LeBron right now, he's There's no denying he's a phenomenal athlete. He's, you know, he's
at least of the 2010s.
Yeah.
Best of this group.
Yeah. So, I mean, he asked me who would win in a one-on-one with MJ and LeBron. I was like, dude, LeBron, come on now. And he's like, come on.
You get, oh, no. I see a no.
No.
I said two no's.
I disagree.
No. What? Yeah.
Why?
Tell me.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, tell me.
It depends on how you play the game.
Okay.
Most of the time when professionals play one-on-one, they play three dribble max.
Okay.
And that will prevent LeBron from just backing Michael in. But Michael Jordan's footwork is just phenomenal. His footwork would really give him an advantage over LeBron's defense.
Okay.
And I think Michael Jordan, having been a defensive player of the year at least once, and I don't know how many times he was first team all NBA defense, but I think his defense is very underestimated.
Fair. But my question is, who is he defending?
Oh, he's defended some tough players.
See, I don't know. I would agree. He has had tough players. But, I mean, you know, look at him in the playoffs. Who is he defending then? Or who's defending him then? I do agree with you that the footwork of Michael would give him a great advantage over LeBron if they're playing the three dribbles.
My biggest issue with
who am I?
with that era on who Michael Jordan played in the championship and the playoffs and whatnot, to get to the finals, he had to go through some very tough opponents. Detroit Pistons. Boston Celtics. If you want to talk about Hall of Famers on one team, you go back to the old school Celtics, go back to the Pistons. True. They had Hall of Famers. And he had to get through that to get to the final. So the preliminaries were his finals.
That's okay.
Wow.
I'll take that. All right. So what do you think then?
For me, it's mainly, it comes down to, I mean, some of the footwork.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mentally, that's where the difference is to me. I think Mike is more of a killer.
Okay.
Mike wants to take that last shot.
I'd have to agree with that.
And he's just more competitive overall. Like, you hear stories about MJ, and he's just, you could be flipping coins and he wants to win more. You don't hear much about LeBron in that sense.
Right.
Everyone's like, oh, LeBron's such a cool cat. We get along, funny guy, but MJ is more.
He wants to tear your head off.
Yeah, he'll push his grandma down to win.
Fair enough.
Well, great points, guys. Thanks for sharing.
Right on.
Thanks for sharing. But yeah, so LeBron opens up his I Promise School. A couple of things just to point out. So people made a big deal about. So he's going to be offering free tuition, free uniforms, free bicycle and helmets, free transportation within 2 miles, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks. Food pantry for families, GEDs. He's offering to give GEDs and job placement services for parents and guaranteed tuition to the University of Akron for every student who graduates. So I wanted to ask y'all, being from Ohio, being from Dayton, Ohio, you're about 3 hours away from Akron, which is us to Houston, basically. Does this mean anything extra special for y'all knowing that this is what he's doing in Ohio? I mean, not in Dayton, but, you know, it's an opportunity for some kids to, if they wanted to, or for some families, if they wanted, to make the transition over to Akron, you know, does this mean anything more for y'all being from Ohio?
Well, not necessarily. I think I'm a big proponent of it just because he's helping people.
Yeah.
And I think just to have the vision, not only to open a school, but to have so many different services provided for families, because I think that's the key to kids being successful in school is good family support.
Okay.
So there he's offering GEDs and job placement, which a lot of people they forget about that part of it.
Right.
And just focus on the kid. So he's getting the whole family together, and I think that's just incredible to have that vision.
Right. Absolutely.
But as far as Ohio, he could do it in Vermont. It would still mean the same to me. It's just a great,
the fact that he's doing it. It's the fact that he's actually the guy.
Yeah, right. Selfless thing to do.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because that's all coming out of his pocket pretty much, right?
Oh, absolutely. His foundation, really, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the foundation.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Alrighty, so, Ike and Isaiah, welcome, first of all. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. We just wanted to go over a little bit of your background, Coach, here. So you were born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And you played high school ball. Isaiah told me you played high school ball at Roth High School in Dayton?
Roth High School.
Yeah?
Yes.
What years? What years did you graduate?
I graduated in 81.
81?
Nice. Yeah. That's a good year.
So you won the state championship as a senior?
As a senior, and the only year at Roth.
Only year? Oh, okay.
Really?
But the story is interesting because when I was in junior high, I was a manager for Roth, which meant I was at the school every day and got to see how, you know, the pride that went into the program. And we had desegregation started my freshman year, well, my eighth grade year. So I got bussed across town to a different school, and I played there for 3 years, and we had some success there. But I always wanted to get back to my home school, and I transferred my senior year, and we had a 26-1 record that year.
Wow. Who was the only loss to?
Salina, man.
He still remembers. Still love it.
Still mad about it.
Yes.
Was that the game Grandma went nuts?
Yeah. I look up. My police about to arrest my mom. You know, she's going off. We kind of got homered in that game. It was a double.
It was on the road?
Yeah, on the road. A double overtime loss.
Oh, and, ooh, that's tough.
But we missed free throws, so we self-inflicted the loss. So, but yeah, that was a great team.
Wow, yeah, man.
Tell us about that season.
Yeah, that sounds like a great season then, with all things
state championship.
Considered.
Not a lot of guys can say that. So tell us about that season. Any guys that you still keep in touch with, some memorable moments from that season?
Oh, yeah, I keep up with all of them. We had, I think there were 5 Division I athletes on that team.
Wow.
Whoa. And Keith Byers being one of them, who was a runner-up to Doug Flutie for the Heisman.
Whoa.
I forget what year, but he was a...
Not a big deal at all.
Nah, four-sport athlete.
That's nothing. You know, I played 3 in high school. I was pretty bad at all of them.
I mean, I played none.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I'm shooting. We
had plenty of talent, man, but the big thing about that team was the camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The chemistry. We cared so much for each other and had each other's backs. When we didn't always play well, someone else on the team would step up,
right,
and fill a void. So that carried us through that whole season.
What do you think kind of contributed that to camaraderie? What helped you guys build?
Did you guys just genuinely love each other? I mean, was it a natural bond for pretty much everyone on the team? Or
back then in the inner city, Little League baseball was big.
Okay.
So we all played Little League baseball together when we were younger. And then growing up, we went our separate ways into going into high school, and we came back together. So we all were familiar with one another at that time. And it was just magical.
Yeah.
You know, the way that we connected.
Right.
You know,
I think also having a winning season helps a lot, too.
When you're not losing, it's fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're not pissed all the time. Yeah.
Myself and another teammate transferred in to Roth that year, and they just accepted us. I mean, we were both starters. We took playing time and some shine from some other players, but it was never an issue.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
So we have here, so state championship run in 81, and I have in the mid 90s, you coached at Trotwood High School. And this is, I got this from him, so tell me if I'm wrong.
Right.
Because he's wrong.
Trotwood
High School in Ohio, going 62-28 in 4 seasons. Is that right?
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that's not bad at all.
We only play 20 games a year in Ohio, regular season, and then everybody goes to the playoffs. And 8 games to get you the state championship.
Okay.
So 28 games is the max you play.
Did you have a district championship kind of deal, or?
Well, it's a little different there. You have leagues, and then you play in a sectional tournament, and then district.
Okay.
So
any district champs or no?
Oh yeah.
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 How many?
Two. Two
congrats.
Districts.
2 out of 4. That's 500. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's pretty
good.
That's
impressive.
Yeah.
And so district there is like third round here.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes
sense.
Okay. Right on. And let me ask this just kind of as a side note, just out of curiosity. So, you know, in Texas, the big sport in high school and overall is pretty much football for the most part. In Ohio, what is it? What's like the number one sport in Ohio? Is it basketball?
No.
Football's king still, right?
Yeah, football is huge, but it's
it's
really equal.
Okay.
In high school, I mean, you get we had games when I was coaching where we'd have 10,000 people.
Wow.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a rivalry game.
Right.
Okay. So it's very popular. Basketball is still very popular.
Okay.
Remember LeBron when they had they closed the streets, snowstorm, and people still came out, like, what was it, 7,000 people came to the arena and watched LeBron play in a snowstorm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bad storm, too. Yeah, and people still came out to watch the game.
Man, when I was living in Colorado, if I even saw snow on the radar, like, I wouldn't leave the house for, like, a week. I'm not about it.
You don't like leaving your house in general.
Well, yeah, I don't. But I had a great reason then.
Yeah, you did.
Now I don't. Okay, that's cool. I just didn't know because I was curious because, you know, I know here, you know, everybody's all super focused on football. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, other sports kind of lose some of the shine that they have. So anyway, cool. So then it looks like you went on to play at what?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. UTSA's first basketball team.
Yep. The inaugural team. 81, 82 was the first season there. And played there for 4 years and had a pretty good career there.
I was about to say, how'd you like it? How was it being the starting of the program? Like, how was it laying the foundation for everything after that?
Oh, awesome.
Was it?
It was awesome. It was a lot different back then. We had a lot more support than they do even now.
Really?
Was it still the Convocational Center?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It had a rubber floor.
Wow.
They badly need to make some changes there because some of the things I see around there I saw when I came in 81.
Man, it's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
How do you feel? So this is a little bit off topic, but how do you feel about Oklahoma coming in town to play the Roadrunners this season?
That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Oklahoma's coming here, dude.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Sooners are coming here to play the Roadrunners.
And I'm sure that's off of that relationship with Coach and
with Henson.
Yeah, Henson and the coach at Oklahoma having that relationship for so long.
Man, I really hate Oklahoma. That's a side note, but if anybody listens to this show, they know how I feel about Oklahoma.
So, yeah, UTSA's first basketball program there. You were there from 81 to 85, correct?
Right.
And you graduated from UTSA?
Yes, yes.
With a degree in what? I'm sorry?
Business Administration.
Business Administration, yep. Okay.
Nice.
So was coaching on the radar at all, or...?
Not at all. My objective was to be an NBA player.
Yeah.
There you go.
You wanted to go for it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Chase the dream, man.
Professional basketball player. And my plan B that my parents always instilled in me, you got to have something to fall back on.
Of course. Right.
So, you know, business was what they thought would be the right path to take.
You can make money, man.
So that's what I focused on. But inside of me, coaching was already inside.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I used to when I would go back home from college in the summers, I would have kids at the park, you know, going through drills and whatnot. So had I paid attention to that, I would have known that was my greatest passion.
Right.
But, you know, back then people would tell you don't want to chase that dream forever. You want to have something to fall back on. And my plan B was business.
Just something in business.
Yes.
Right on.
So I tried the pros. I got cut by the Pacers, and
made it farther than everybody else.
This might have been good to know.
Yeah, they had a free agent camp.
I love you, bro, but
I was invited to that camp, and it didn't work out favorably for me. But I was satisfied with the effort and productivity that I put forth there, and had a couple tryouts with CBA teams that didn't go my way. Nice. So. That's when I gave it up, and I kind of was angry and upset with basketball because I had given it so much.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
And fell short of that goal, so I didn't want anything to do with basketball.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I concentrated on my career in banking.
Nice.
I was a banker for 9 years. I went through an management training program, and worked up to a assistant vice president of commercial banking.
Wow.
Before my job was eliminated.
That's still impressive. I was a teller for like a year, and it was terrible. Okay. It was just the worst, dude. I'm like counting change. I'm like, I just hate this so much. Yeah, let me roll up your pennies for you. I'd love to. 50 pennies later.
Let me ask you, were there any opportunities to play overseas, or was playing overseas like an option at that time?
It was very difficult to play overseas at that time. They took two Americans on a team, most places, and mainly big men.
Okay.
So there was a possibility I could have gone to Belgium, but it didn't come through.
What position did you play?
I played guard, both guard positions and small forward.
Okay, nice.
Very little pretty bit of point guard.
You can handle the ball, though.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Nice, very nice.
Yeah. All righty. All right. So we have here that you... I'm sorry.
No, no, no. After you, good sir. No, 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 please.
So I have... After UTSA... so talk about... I mean, you said you tried going to the pros and right. It just didn't quite work out. Didn't want nothing to do with basketball after that. Just pretty angry at the game. So talk about getting the opportunity at Sam Houston.
Okay. That's a funny story. When I was in Ohio, my last year in Ohio, we played for the state championship. And
coaching?
Coaching.
I was going to say, when you were coaching at
Troutwood.
Troutwood?
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, so I called Terry Morris, who was the coach at Marshall at the time. He was my assistant coach at UTSA, and I asked him, well, what am I going to have to do to get a coaching job in San Antonio? And he said, well, Ike, you're probably going to have to be a middle school coach.
Eesh.
And, you know, I was like, whoa.
No, thank you.
You know, here I am up here and playing in the great state of Ohio for a championship and, you know, going to middle school. Well, it worked out where I came down for a job fair at SAISD. And because I'm a big guy, they thought, well, hey, he do well in the inner city school.
Okay. You know?
So they hired me. And I wasn't a certified teacher. In Ohio, you don't have to be a certified teacher to coach.
I was going to ask because, the business administration, you didn't go for kinesiology. So
No. So I taught business classes.
Okay.
And so when I moved down here, they hired me in SAISD at Sam Houston. And it turned out that the principal at Sam Houston, her husband was a walk-on at UTSA.
Whoa. And
no way.
I didn't connect all of that before.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty slick.
She hired me as a teacher there, and I volunteered on the staff at Sam Houston for a year.
Okay.
Because they had all their positions filled, and I needed a year to get my certification. So I volunteered, and it just so happened, man, the pieces fell in place. And
nice.
Wayne Dickey, who was a legendary coach in the city, he retired after that first year, and they hired me.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah. So you're there from 07 to 13, right?
Right.
Okay. Any memorable seasons that y'all – I mean, because we were – well, you started, and we were at O'Connor at the time.
Yeah.
And then you were there till 13. So any memorable seasons did y'all – any good teams?
Yeah, they all were pretty good teams. Yeah. We had four regional appearances.
Awesome.
The last 4 years.
That's impressive.
And then the last season, we made it to the Final Four, and we lost to Dallas. I forget the name.
Madison.
Yeah, that's what it was. And
you coached both of your sons too.
Oh yeah,
my younger brothers.
Yeah, nice. I was going to bring them up.
Nice, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, that was very cool to get to coach both my sons there at Sam Houston. And then Miles went to Smithson Valley with me for the final year.
Okay. And let me ask this. So when you got the program in 07 and you said, you know, it made it the last 4 years, so those were a couple of years that you didn't. When you got the program, did you kind of have to turn anything around, or was it already pretty set for you and you were just laying down better fundamentals? Or
no, it was set. Sam Houston had a... Man, their tradition is awesome, man. They've always won.
Okay.
And it had been a few years since they made it back to state. But that first year, we made it to the third round of the playoffs. So we were in playoffs every year.
Okay.
And I forget, I think we won district. Out of those 7 years, we won 5 district championships.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Not a big deal at all.
Right? Yeah. That's nothing.
Not a big deal. You know what you're doing.
Right. So it looks like you moved to Smithson Valley after that, 2014 to present.
Jeez. Smithson Valley. Yeah.
How's that been going?
Oh, man. It's been it's been a nightmare.
Yeah. How so?
In a sense. You know, when you look at, you know, the record there, we won 12 games the first year. Second year, we won... one game.
Man.
1-27.
Man.
And the third year, I think we won 7, and fourth year, we won 8 games.
Man.
So
you're having to turn that one around.
Yeah, it's a dramatic change, and it's been very, very difficult, but at the same time, rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have the same talent level, it forces you to get better as a coach.
Okay.
And you have to look in the mirror at yourself. It's not the kids. I have to coach better.
Right.
And, you know, I live by one of John Wooden's quotes, you haven't taught until they've learned.
Okay.
So
I like that. Yeah.
I have to do a better job of coaching and teaching to get the outcome that we want.
Okay. That makes sense.
So just to go back here a little bit, because I wanted to ask you, from your, I read an article, or I didn't read it, but I saw the article and I read snippets.
I looked at it.
I looked at it. I saw an article. I saw a few highlights that I wanted to read to better sum it up. But from Sam Houston to Smithson Valley, I saw an article that David Flores wrote about you, saying that your transition from Sam Houston to Smithson Valley was actually pretty difficult. Would you say you took it pretty hard, or was it just kind of an opportunity that, can you talk about that a little bit? Because you built a foundation at Sam Houston, mm-hmm. then making the move to Smithson Valley. Right. How difficult was that for you?
Extremely difficult. But it made me a better man and a better coach, because when things don't go your way, it's easy to look at blame others.
Right.
And not look at your own self. So it really helped me become a better coach, even though it's been painful and different. You know, it's caused my coaching philosophies to change. And so in all, when you look outside of winning, it's been better for me.
Okay. And I wanted to ask this earlier because I kind of thought about it, trying to see if these two connect at all. So does having a business degree help with coaching at all? Does it kind of change your mindset? Does it help you develop strategies, anything like that?
Well, I think it's helped me from an organizational standpoint.
Okay.
My major was management.
Okay.
So,
that makes
sense.
So,
just learning how communication, how important communication is, and organizational skills.
Right.
It came in handy from that perspective.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Nice. I like that. I was just kind of curious because I was wondering if that had actually any effect on it at all, kind of a deal. You know what I'm saying? Cool, man.
Are we going on an interview question?
I was like, now we're in the interviews. Now we've officially introduced you guys to the world, all 40 people of them.
What's up?
Now we can finally get to the good part, man.
Yeah. So rapid fire, you want to do one-on-one?
Yeah, we'll go one-on-one.
Go ahead, I'll go after you.
All right. So first question, sir. So in your opinion, how does the one-and-done culture of college basketball affect basketball on other levels, or does it affect it at all?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you, sir. I'm not going to lie. We sat at Taco Cabana for about 15 minutes and came up with all of these. So
in a matter of about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, grand total. I finished a burrito in about the same amount of time we finished.
That's thinking food right there.
Right? Thank you. See,
there
he gets
go.
It.
I think it affects all levels. Of basketball. From the high school perspective, you see players who want that to be them.
Right.
And then on the college level, I think it messes up. I don't like it for the college game because, you know, you got these kids who come for 1 year. I don't know how much emphasis, how much importance academics is for them,
mm-hmm.
which is a big part of being in college basketball.
Right.
And then when you leave after a year, it kind of throws everything off balance.
Right.
And I think when if you can have a group of kids who play together for three or four years, I think you have more chances of having a team with good chemistry.
Right.
It's hard to develop that chemistry at 1 year, after 1 year. And then the NBA, I think there needs to be the D League or G League needs to be developed a little further so that those guys can play in the G League.
Right.
Instead of watering down the NBA. I just think they water down the NBA because it takes them 2 to 3 years to develop in most cases.
Right.
And I think if the G League offered better opportunities for them, they could develop there and the NBA game could be stronger.
See, I like that. See, I wonder, and I know you didn't say this verbatim, but do you think that it could almost even be beneficial to both colleges and the G League, D League kind of a deal, where if they almost eliminated basketball programs in college and just only had stronger G and D leagues, like, do you think that would be more beneficial,
no.
or do you think just staying in college
no.
more?
No,
that's a strong no.
Yeah, that's a strong no because there's so many benefits to playing team sports,
mm-hmm.
and when you for the guy who's not a superstar, they often get overlooked in recruiting. So having given them an opportunity on all levels, Division One, Two, Three, NAIA, that's good basketball still.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, and also it lets them learn some life lessons and some skills that help them advance later in life.
They still get that education too, right, which is useful.
Yeah.
So right on.
All righty.
Cool.
So in the game of basketball, where so many players are idolized, I have a feeling I already know what your answer is going to be, but I'm asking anyways. In the game of basketball, where so many players are idolized, do you encourage your student athletes to emulate the style of others, or do you encourage them to find their own voice, their own style, so to speak?
Steph Curry pull up from 50 feet.
It's probably a combination of the two. I don't think you can. You have to be yourself.
Of course.
Right.
And but you can look at others to learn. And I like to use, like, say, if a player has a similar style of play to a Steph Curry, I might say, watch Steph Curry and see how he moves without the ball or something like that. But not to just emulate everything about him, but just pick parts so that you can learn and develop yourself become the player that you can be.
Any guys at Sam Houston or anybody in your coaching career that, you know, had a strong resemblance to somebody that, you know, you just thought automatically, or you told them, hey, okay, you like this guy so much, watch him, watch tape on him, you know, any guys like that idolize somebody that can come to mind right now?
Not really. Maybe one guy I had at Trotwood, he was a Jordan Brand All-American.
Oh, wow.
And he was 6'8", with over a 40-inch vertical. So...
Vertical's like seven, so.
We used to watch Dominique a lot because, you know, he was a powerful jumper. But right. Dominique also was more than a powerful jumper. You know,
right.
He could finesse it some. He could shoot the ball pretty good. So I would try to make that comparison with him.
Okay. So what is the trial and error like when you're telling a guy, hey, look, you know, watch this guy try to pick up his, you know, off-ball movements. Watch this guy try to get his footwork down. Watch this guy try to get, you know, his ball handling skills. Is there a trial and error in that? And just kind of like, well, maybe you can't do it quite like this, but try something else. Or, like, how do you kind of combine skills? Or how do you kind of develop skills in guys when you're trying to kind of pick parts from other players for them to look into?
It's really difficult today because I don't think this generation of kids are students of the game. Most of them.
Okay.
Like if you ask a kid, did you watch that game last night? No, nobody watched it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, when you're talking about footwork, that's a pretty basic thing to have them watch that they can emulate where you can't really go wrong. But if you had them look at the way a guy shoots the ball, then you could run into problems. But, you know, that's a good question. For things like footwork, it would be – something that you would want to use more than shooting style.
Okay. So there are different things that you would focus on when you're trying to watch other guys.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I love how Isaiah's just nodding.
He's like, yeah, these are all,
Any thoughts, man?
I mean, with nowadays too, I mean, it's harder because video games, like there's so many things that you can do to take your attention span away from being a student of the game or working on your skills. So, I mean, it takes a real special, hungry kid that will go and implement those things or study the game. So,
right.
I mean, coaches have a lot to deal with nowadays. I mean, everyone does, teachers, coaches. True. You know, yeah. So.
Yeah, there's a lot more distractions, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real quick, so as a follow-up question to the last one I asked you, is there a coach or an organization that you try to emulate? And if so, who? If not, and how do you try to develop your own coaching style, or like what is your own coaching style?
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to look at Coach K and try to emulate Duke's program and the things that he did. But as I've gotten more experienced as a coach and grown, I pull bits and pieces from different people.
Okay.
If there's something I want to learn, a particular defense and a program is good in it, then I'll pay attention to that for that program. If I like culture stuff, I'll look at another program. But there's so much good stuff out there that's available to coaches to see now that it's no one way that's the best way.
Fair enough.
I try to take combinations. And as far as my coaching style, I think initially it was more so from coaches that I played for, how they coached.
Okay.
Until you kind of find your way and you figure out that was his style or that was right. the way that he did things, and I have to develop my own. So it's a constant coaching philosophy is a work in progress. Mm, it's constantly developing.
Right.
And at Smithson Valley, I've been challenged with that a lot because in the past I've always been a pressure defense coach and get the ball up and down the court and let people play freely.
Okay.
Whereas when you don't have a skilled players, then you got to put more structure in for them. So you got to get better at plays,
right.
you know. So you don't have the players that can press full court. So now you got to play half court defense. I never played zone previously to Smithson Valley. So I had to learn how to really teach how to play a zone off zone defense. And you just can't say get in a 2-3 zone. You got to work on the different intricacies. So it's always developing.
Okay. Awesome. So is there a couple of, I know you had mentioned Duke, are there a couple of organizations that you have pulled from like more recently? Is there anybody that you like more than others? Are you, you know, a big fan of K-State basketball or a big fan of, you know what I'm saying?
Anybody you're studying right now?
Yeah. Anybody that's,
no, right now I'm pretty much, studying culture.
Okay.
Because that's something that we need to develop at Smithson Valley. So I'm trying to find ways to
incorporate it.
So like I read the book Culture Code, and it has different ideals on it from different organizations on how they develop their strong culture. And John Gordon, who writes good books, The Energy Bus. And some other books.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah, he writes amazing books on how to develop your locker room, and because I think that's the key to having a great team is relationships.
Chemistry.
Yeah, I used to think it was X's and O's, and it's not X's and O's. It's having relationships with your players.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I mean, I'd have to agree with everything.
I mean, because we were even talking about a little bit before the show the relationship that Pop has with his guys and how it's, you know, it's really special. I think that's how he gets, or you were saying that's how he gets some of the best out of his players over food and wine. And those are like two of my favorite things. So, all right. So, next question for you, sir. So, what lessons or values from your state championship run in '81 do you try to instill in your student athletes today?
If any.
Yeah, if any at all, man.
Yeah, I have a picture of that state championship team on my wall in my office. And,
you know,
home or school office?
School.
School
He's
office?
Like both.
Yeah.
Both. It's
and
everywhere.
I got it in my phone, too.
Nice.
And I always start practice with a group, with a talk around some type of quote. And I bring that picture out.
Okay.
And I'll tell them. And they make fun of me because I call them by their nicknames. I say, this is Willie C, that's Chucky T, and I would tell them different.
What was your nickname?
Oh, the Rainbow Launcher.
The what?
The Rainbow Launcher.
Oh, my.
I had a high arcing jump shot.
That's awesome. Nothing wrong with it.
Hey, man, if it works, it works.
If it goes in, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
So I try to, I talk more. I talk more about the togetherness that we had with that group than anything with my teams because I know that that was the key ingredient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
How important it is to hold each other accountable, which
that's huge.
My kids have a hard time holding each other accountable.
It can be tough sometimes because it's hard because you still want to be friends with everybody. So you don't want to tell them, hey, you're messing up. I need you to do better when you're like, oh, well, I don't even know if that guy likes me in the first place. I don't want to cause any trouble. So I can...
Yeah.
That being a problem. Right on.
Okay, so so you're talking a lot about culture right now, how culture is a big thing for you. So what are some cultural differences in high school basketball between Texas and Ohio? Is basketball you already said is basketball more the more popular sport in Ohio, but you said
kind of right.
So some cultural differences between basketball here and versus Texas or versus Ohio.
Yeah. It's really interesting. In Ohio, you don't have athletic periods. Whereas, you know, you can't even talk to your team about basketball during the off season.
Really?
No.
Really, really?
No. You can have open gym and an open weight room.
Right.
But you can't give any instruction or anything like that.
No kind of off season workouts or anything.
I was about to say, is there like programs that you can do?
In June, you get 10 days for the month of June that you can coach your team.
What?
And, you know, nobody monitors the 10 days. I hope I'm not telling on them. Nobody monitors those 10 days. So, you know, you can coach your team in a team camp atmosphere or a summer league. You can actually coach them instead of getting someone else to coach them. And here, you know, with the athletic period, you're with your players every day during the school year. And I just don't think that we produce better players here than we do in Ohio. And you have all of that time with the kids. And I don't think the teams are any more well-coached or well-structured than they are in Ohio. But in Ohio, you just let kids play all the time.
Yeah.
And like here, I know Dallas and Houston, I think they probably play against the best players probably get together and play against each other more than they do here in San Antonio for some reason. But the passion for the game is much greater there than it is here, in my opinion.
Okay.
And that's why...
And even in Houston and Dallas?
It's probably similar.
A little more similar. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on, Mr. Launcher.
All right.
So moving on. And, you know, we really like this question a lot. And you've said some of this answer already kind of as we've been going along.
Can I say one more thing about that culture?
Yeah, of course. Please do.
When you have a game in Ohio, I mean, you would hear girls at school talking about getting new outfits, getting their hair done to go to the game.
Really?
And
I can believe that.
Yeah. And nobody plays. It burns me up here, man. You got a game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a high school basketball game. Who's going to be at that game?
Yeah, I was like, is it
what, people are at work?
During the week, too, right? Yeah. Probably during the week.
Parents are at work.
Yeah, right? Like,
who's coming? So, you know, they wouldn't play a football game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
No.
You know, on a weekday. So, you know, it's just not important. You know, you go to a I don't want to get myself in trouble, but
you
go to some conventions and it has a football dominance feel.
Right.
And, you know, it's supposed to be for all sports.
Right.
And, you know, that's a big difference in my opinion. You know, up there it's every season has their lane.
Yeah. Right.
And when you're wearing that lane, that's the most important lane.
That's fair. Yeah. So in Ohio, because here, a lot of our sports kind of overlap for a few weeks. Is that kind of the case in Ohio as well? Yeah. They still kind of...
Same deal.
Okay.
Same deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then dealing with the multi-sport athletes has got to be... what's the difference between... Because we asked this question and Anthony came up with this a couple weeks ago. How do you deal with multi-sport athletes? Like, what's the difference between Ohio and here when you have multi-sport athletes who are kind of not in the lane you want them to be, I guess?
There's
the
really no difference from that perspective. Okay. But, you know, it's really difficult now because now you read different reports and it says that kids should not specialize in sports until maybe their sophomore, junior year of high school, which I agree with. But, you know, it's difficult when you have a football player who plays basketball. As soon as the basketball season is over, they go to football athletics.
Right.
And they do nothing with basketball. So you go to summer league. They don't play basketball, and they don't work on their skills all summer with basketball because they're with football. But then when basketball season starts, they want to come and play basketball.
Right.
But what have you done to improve your skills so that you can be a positive contributor to the basketball program?
Right. You know? You've been practicing all summer.
You haven't been practicing.
What are you going to do for me now?
So, you know, I have my own feelings about dual sport athletes.
Fair enough.
I think there are some who can get away with it because they're just exceptional. athletes, and they have a certain level of skill that's transferable over.
Right.
But not very many can do that.
Right. That's fair.
That's fair.
Right on. Okay. And I like that addition, too. Okay, so, and like I said, you've answered a little bit of this in a couple of questions that you've asked so far, but I'd be curious to kind of see what this answer looks like all put together. So what do you do, or how do you ensure that the student athletes leave better men and better players when they're done in your program?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
You really try to, right. You know, there's so many life lessons that you can take from a game. Mm-hmm. And you try to pull those out and talk about them. Just say when we're in, before we watch film, or if we're in our circle before practice, you pull those things out and you expound on them. And you try to get them to see the big picture of that particular thing, of how it can help them later in life. Because right. I use my family a lot. I might say if I make a poor decision and I lose my job, then all the other five members of my family are going to feel
right.
that.
Right.
So if you make a bad decision with the team, all of us are going to feel that. So you kind of try to help them parallel, see the congruencies between the sport and life.
Okay.
And, you know, at Sam Houston, I had some situations where team rules were broken. And
he just starts laughing.
I love
One year, I had to remove four seniors from the team.
Whoa. Playoffs.
In the playoffs, dude.
No, this was not that one.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
This happened more than once?
Yeah. Yeah. This was early in the year, and I replaced them with four freshmen.
Wow.
Dang.
A sophomore and three freshmen. So
that's tough for a team, man.
Yeah, it was
especially
tough.
Building that chemistry.
Yep. But we got through it, and those guys that came on as freshmen, I mean, they were on the team that went to four straight regionals.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so
they really stepped up.
Yeah, they stepped up. And then the playoffs, we won a semifinal, regional semifinal in Corpus. Had to stay overnight.
Nice.
And guys broke curfew.
Ah.
So, and I knew some of them broke some team rules other than the curfew. So for the regional final, you got to make a decision. Do you play them?
Right.
Or not. So I didn't play them. And it really cost us a trip to Austin.
Should have been more like Jim Tressel.
And what was that?
Let them play.
Oh, let them play. I couldn't let them play. I couldn't let
them play. That's a tough call, too. So
you have to go with your gut. So yeah. I assume, you know, you had to do what was best for, you know, in the self-interest of you, right? I mean, you...
Well, not even that. Self-interest of the kids.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I would be teaching them the...
That it's okay.
It's kind of like what Urban Meyer is going through right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you look
at
above the line behavior in his book.
He's a big Buckeye fan, just so you know.
You know, he talks about being truthful and honest, mm-hmm. and how the kids, your players, see that when you're not. Well, you know, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but he finds himself in a situation where he went against his principles,
right? Mm-hmm.
By not telling the truth. So, I mean, it's just a hard lesson to learn,
right?
But you got to learn it, and hopefully, you know, hopefully they will make better decisions in the real game of life, which is the most important game.
Right. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, learning that lesson early on. Yeah. So that's one of the things, because we talk about that a little bit. We talk about like lessons that you've learned in sports. We've talked about participation trophies and all sorts. What else have we talked about now? Cocky versus confident, which is a big one.
Yeah.
Which I love. There was a nobody video, agrees with me on
there
that.
There was a because you're wrong,
Draymond.
Bro. If you can bet.
Oh, is this on the Money Mayweather?
Yeah. Okay, so are you a boxing fan at all, or do you know about
Somewhat,
Floyd? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. In my opinion, Floyd is not cocky. He's confident. Why? Look at his record. If you can talk all that mess and back it up every single time, I think you're confident at that point because you know what you can do. Now, if you're losing all the time, right, if your record's like 0-59 and then you're talking all that mess, well, then you're cocky.
LeVar Ball?
Put him in his place, coach. Put him in his place. I know he has to be.
LeVar Ball is cocky because he's not good. Well, he's
never
okay,
lost.
But
I think you can. I think he's cocky.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I don't think that's a bad thing.
Fair. Okay.
You know, but he is. He goes over. He's past confident.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a pretty fine line too between.
Yeah. It's a very fine line.
Yeah. Where those two. I don't know, man. I don't know. If you can back it up, like, I can't call you cocky. I have to be confident. I don't know, man. Anyway, okay.
These are, you ready to be on the spot, brother?
Yeah. You ready, brother, man?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's
do this. I see you nodding and nodding and nodding. You got a whole lot of things to say.
I feel like I'm Jay-Z in the booth right now.
All right, so we had a couple for you. So you have a brother. I mean, you have a successful coach as a dad. You have two brothers that have played and one that has gone on to play in college ball. Well,
Both of them.
Both of them play college ball. Sorry. Shout out to those guys. Love you guys out there, Miles and Isaac. So in what ways for you, what ways does having a successful coach as a father impact you and does it at all?
Well, I mean, in terms of playing sports, I got a great opportunities to learn a lot. At a young age, I was always at the gym during summers. And so, I mean, I got exposed to a lot and pretty much at a young age. As long as I can remember, basketball has been my favorite sport. So,
yeah.
Then you used to joke that you put a ball in the crib.
Yeah. Ball was in the crib.
It wasn't a joke. He actually did it. Right?
Like, I think you might.
My wife kept taking it out.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of good, fun memories. And I mean, I didn't make it in high school, but still hung around the game.
Hey, we did the next best thing.
Yep. There you go. Me and Harry, yep. We're their managers in high school together.
Nice, nice.
And then he went to college as a corporate manager, me too. So.
That was a funny story. That's
like, did you go to UTSA also, or
no? I went to St. Mary's. I did four years there.
Nice, so. Nice. Right,
I don't
it's
know
the Rattlers, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, the Rattlers. Okay, the Rattlers. Okay. Yeah. So,
I knew a couple of girls who played softball out there. One of them was like tried out for like the USA USA's softball team, and she like made it or something like
really?
That. Yeah, but she didn't. She went to the Army instead, I guess.
Awesome.
Man, she's dude made me look so bad.
Yeah, they have good. Like, they have a good softball program.
Like, that was insane. But anyway, so sorry. Please continue.
Oh, I forgot what I was.
Your manager, St. Mary's, you're staying around the
game. It's a funny story we can share later. So to bounce off of that, I mean, this kind of bounces off of that. So what's it like growing up in a family with such rich basketball tradition? And is that where you got your love for basketball? Which you kind of already answered.
Yeah, because, I mean, my grandfather played basketball. They used to play on the old man leagues together.
Nice.
Old man leagues.
Yeah. And, I mean, fun games growing up with my brothers. Even my sister played a little bit.
Victoria.
Yeah, she played in high school.
Nice.
For
awesome.
Years.
So
and everybody played.
I was about to say, this is a basketball family, man.
Everybody
Dang.
Played with the exception of us.
Yeah. Yep.
We just didn't quite have it.
Hey, man. Never does, man. I tried out for basketball in 7th and 8th grade, and I didn't make it either time. So. Yeah. I didn't even make it to high school, so you guys got me there.
So funny story how we met real quick. So, yeah, I was a junior and he was a sophomore, and y'all had just moved down to Texas, right?
Yeah. Right?
And so at the time, I played baseball growing up. For some reason, didn't sign up for baseball going into high school, and I said, hey, I'm gonna try out for basketball. I'm just gonna do it. So I showed up. Of course, I don't know what I'm doing out there. But the coach loves me enough, and he tells me, hey, if you want, we'd love to have you on as a manager, keep you on as a manager. I love the type of guy you are and everything. So, of course, yeah. So this is my junior year, and I just take my job way too seriously. And I'm like, we have basketball periods, and I would run to the gym from class every day just to get set up and just to mop the floor. Not ashamed to say it. We did it. We did it a lot.
Yep.
Just to mop the floor and get practice ready for the guys. And I remember you tried out and kind of, sorry, I just kind of, you've heard this, you know this story. But so coach, you didn't make it, of course, but coach asked you if you want to be on a manager as well. And then you walk into practice one day and what did you tell me? Or what were you thinking to yourself?
I was like, is it really that serious? It was straight up like the scene from Training Day. That's what it felt like when I walked in. I'm just like, You might as well have just told me, like, you want to go home?
Dang, that bad?
Well, I mean, it was a lot more than what I was expecting. Because I thought we were just going to be chilling. Just
hanging out.
Hanging out. Like some of your managers you had, they would just chill. But I get there, and Harry's, like, running. And he's like, hey, bro, hold these. And I'm just like, what's going on? Right. And next thing you know, we had to get the floor mopped because the period's going, and they had to get out there. And so I'm like, oh, I guess it really is that serious.
I took a little too seriously. But hey, it got me a scholarship.
I was like, it got you where you're going, so nothing mad at that.
All righty. So thanks you guys for being here. I wanted to ask you, because you're a huge Lakers fan. Mm-hmm. Does that come from Kobe? I know a little bit it comes from Kobe, right?
But yeah.
Talk about that, where your love for the Lakers came.
Well, I think originally I started liking the Lakers because this guy, he was a Showtime fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Fair enough.
So when I grew up, I remember when Shaq and Kobe came, like 96, 97. I was pretty young, but I remember it. And that's when I started following the Lakers, really following them. So I kind of grew up with Kobe. So
okay.
That was my guy.
That was your guy.
That was my guy. And then, you know, had the scare when he wanted to get traded in 07, and things worked out. And then these past couple of years, I mean, when we were in high school, I used to stay up late and watch the Lakers games. I had I found a link. It didn't pay for the pay-per-view. Nice. Found a link, but I'd stay up late watching Lakers games.
Sure you want to share this?
Yeah, I was about to say.
What about your room?
A little parting action.
Yeah, my room, growing up, I painted it purple. Purple and gold.
Are you serious?
It was
That's
dark.
Pretty slick.
It was pretty good to sleep in there because it was
pitch. Yeah, I could see that night dark in there. Get the windows closed.
But
so that was one thing. My high school was purple and green, and so most of our stuff was purple. So yeah. Everything was always cold. The building was always cold. Gym was always cold. It was nice and dark in there the whole time. I was like, yes, this is nice. Being somebody whose body temperature is like 106 always. It's bad, man.
So when you first hear the news, LeBron's going to L.A., what are you thinking? What is, like, how are you right now? Are you, yes, we're going to make the playoffs. We'll fight for, just overall thoughts, man.
At first, I was terrified because I thought he was going to trade off our three young guys, like Ball, Kuz, Ingram, even Hart, just trying to trade them to get Kawhi. Like, once Kawhi went to Toronto, I was like, thank you, God. Right. But once you got to see that he's actually there, he signed a long term.
Yeah.
He's not putting the pressure on them to get rid of the young guys. I'm like, okay, so maybe we're going to do this better than the past 4 years because – I mean, I think, yes, it's good to have some superstars on the team and one of the greatest to play.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't have anyone around him, it
gets tough.
He's going to get burnt out. And
yeah.
I mean, it happened to Kobe. His last couple years weren't at his peak because he ran himself in the ground. So hopefully LeBron can have these young guys help him age to where – he can play at his peak, and he probably will be able to because he's a freak. He takes good care of his body and all that.
I read somewhere that he spends $1 million just to take care of his body.
Yeah.
It's mostly just his hairline, though.
Probably. Oh.
He needs to join the club.
Just shave it, Doc. It's too late. We all know it's there. Like, you don't need a thicker headband. Just take the rest of it off.
Yeah. So do you think he retires in L.A.? 4 years?
What is he? He's 33.
Mm. Rocco says he retires in LA.
I don't know. Maybe, probably. I keep hearing those rumors that he wants to play with Bronny, his son.
Really?
Yeah, I have heard that. Like, so, one of his greatest goals is to be able to play with his son. So.
Really?
Yeah.
His son's in eighth grade, so.
So that's like, what, four, six, 5 years? Yeah, six years, so probably.
He's going to have another contract come up, so.
How do you feel about that, Coach? I see you, big smile on your face. How do you feel about that?
Well, they'll probably do away with the one-year wait. By the time he graduates from high school, he can probably go straight to the league. The rule would be in place, at least. I don't know where his skills would be.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I was surprised he went to L.A. I thought he was going to stay in Cleveland.
Yeah, me too. I did.
Because I'm kind of short-sighted, I guess, because he – he really loves Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary, his mm-hmm. high school, and his coach is still there, mm-hmm. and they're still successful. So I thought Bronny was going to play there.
He'd want to stay and be a part of that.
Yeah,
you know, culture. So, yeah.
Little did I know,
he's learning from Magic now. He's going to be the. I mean, he's already big, but man,
right?
He's probably going to be like a billionaire if he's not already.
Oh, dude.
Easy.
Yeah.
See, his whole thing is, I'm glad that he went to the West because he's spent so much time in the East and it's been a cakewalk for him the whole time. I'm excited to see what he can do in the West. But I saw this post the other day. I think it was by ESPN Sports Center or something like that. And basically they were saying that they were predicting what the playoffs were going to look like. And it didn't have the Lakers and it didn't have the Spurs too. On there either.
I was like,
right?
What? Who wrote that?
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't even know how people would react to a playoff that didn't have LeBron or didn't have the Spurs who've made it like 80 times in a row.
Somebody's
going to
miss it.
Yeah.
But I think the Spurs will make it.
You think so?
Yeah.
So Spurs, you think Spurs make it and Lakers don't?
I think they're both going to make it, but people are sleeping on the Spurs
they're gonna be
because
tough.
They've picked up players who fit their puzzle.
Right.
I mean,
you got Bellinelli back.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if they're all stars.
Bellinelli already knows some of the system. I'm sure they've changed some things, but he already knows most of it.
Mm-hmm. So. Their youngings are going to get better.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm real excited to see DeJounte Murray this year.
Man. Yeah. Well, I'm excited that we got the big guy from Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we can finally play something in the paint. You know what I'm saying?
Because we're having trouble with that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to miss out in the West. Somebody's going to miss out.
Right.
Somebody, yeah.
New Orleans isn't going to make it again.
No, New Orleans isn't going to make it. I can see the Rockets. Or not the Rockets. The OKC. I can see them missing potentially.
Really?
Yeah. Just out of the blue, Russell, you know, doesn't have the best year, and he's pretty much the only source of points.
If someone gets hurt on that team. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I know he's not, but he's like the star. Everybody wants to watch him do well. I also saw a thing that he is the reincarnation of MJ. You guys hear about that?
With the mentality, his mentality.
I guess the whole nine is what they were saying.
Yeah, but he's a little far. He's a little too far with the mentality.
Yeah, he's pretty wild. Yeah. Coming in every day with a new outfit. That dude's wild.
Hey, so real quick, I wanted to ask you. So, I mean, you grew up a Showtime Lakers fan, but you grew up watching the old school style of basketball. For people that like to throw the argument out there, or not even an argument, but what do you think, like, what do you see as the, like, some of the biggest differences between today's game and that game? Like,
The biggest thing is the paint.
The paint?
Yeah, the paint, the key area. I was watching a classic game last week. The Celtics were playing somebody, and they had a double low post. And you know, it was just clogged, congested. Whereas now, everything's so spaced out.
It's a three-point game?
Yeah, it's a three-point game now. And that's the biggest difference. And, of course, the physicality of it. The game was much more physical then.
I was like, or the lack thereof now.
Yeah.
Are you still a fan of today's game? Like,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I still enjoy it. I mean, you can't go back in time. It'll never go back to that.
Right.
It's almost like bringing paddling back to school. You can't. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
I think a lot of parents wouldn't be too mad at that, though. My parents wouldn't be.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, smack them. If we can't, you can. Like, we're at work. Y'all can do it for us. But anyway, right on, man.
All right.
Right on.
We got anything else, gentlemen?
Yeah.
No.
Right on. Rocco, you got anything you want
to
add?
I have absolutely nothing to say to make this podcast any better.
Fair
Coach,
enough.
That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you for agreeing to be on. So,
all right.
I'm sharing so much.
Isaiah, step up your game, bro. I don't know what you're doing over there.
That was
great. Oh, you're talking to me? Oh, sorry about that.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, that was thank 14, you guys, man. Again. Shout out to you. Want to say hi to your your two other boys and your girl out there, Victoria.
Well, she's getting married in 2 weeks.
He told
man.
Me we had lunch the
oh,
other
man.
Day.
Congratulations!
And I'm shaking, man.
He's got.
I got to do this dance, man.
You got to dance.
Yeah. What's up, Isaac, Victoria, and Miles, and Kim.
Kim.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kim.
Yeah.
Shout out. Y'all have been family to me ever since I've met this guy. So
Same, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
14
14
14 in the
that
books.
That's
a good one.
Here.
All right.
Go follow us on our socials. Our email is aasportsshow@gmail.com, double spelled out, 1asportsshow@gmail.com. Guys, this was a lot of fun. Thanks again, man.
All right.
Remember, all right, everybody, if you like what you hear, share it with your friends, share it on your pages, let everybody else know. Again, we have the keychain giveaway. We're going to start asking questions, wristband giveaway. Leave us a positive review on iTunes. And, yeah, see you guys next week.
That was about it.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.
That is-